I want to start from day one. And what I mean by day one, I'm talking about my first day in court. But before I go ahead and start talking about my first day in court, make sure you hit that like and subscribe button so you can get all our notifications and check out some of our other videos. You don't want to miss what we got coming up next. So now I'm gonna get back to it. We talking about my first day. No, I wasn't a criminal. I didn't do any of that stuff. I'm talking about the first day I had to go to court and fight for my son. Now I'm gonna tell you this story, and I hope that you follow along with me, because this may be more than one episode, because I can't tell this in just one half hour. Okay, it's purely my perspective, but it was interesting nonetheless, because I didn't give up on my son. I chose to fight regardless of what I had went through in my past. I knew that I wanted to be in his life, and there wasn't going to be anything that was going to stop that. Not her, not a court order, not anything. I would go to any extreme lengths to be in my son's life, because he needed me. And looking at the situation that she was going to be in and where we at today, I say I gambled right. So how did we get here, right? So when I decided to start my case, I didn't know exactly what I was doing. The good part about it was that I worked for the court system, so I had a little bit of knowledge on how to go about certain situations. And I had mentors that was able to provide me with information on how to go and make it happen. I even talked to attorneys, and most of them was talking about waiting for the state to come after me. And I'm like, I can't wait for the state to come after me. Why am I going to wait for the state to come after me? I need to take action. I need to be proactive. She was talking about taking my son to Nevada, where she had no family, to go to culinary arts school. And I tried to negotiate with her, say, hey, you can go and do culinary arts, and I'll take care of our son. And when you come back with that degree and you get everything together, you get on your feet, apartment, everything, all that stuff, I'll gladly give them back to you. Now, I know some people probably think that that's BS. You ain't gonna give them back. Nah, I would have gave them back. Do you understand the freedom that I would have had if I would have gave them back? I would have had to only feed myself. Not saying that whether it would have been a good idea or a bad idea at the time, but I was thinking, okay, well, I'll have this one-on-one time with him. I have the support system to go ahead and make this thing happen. But she didn't trust me. And she told me to my face, I don't trust you enough to take care of our son while I go and improve and get better for myself and come back, and you gonna just willingly give them back to me. I said, yeah, I want to see you succeed. I want to see you do great things. I want to see you to be in the, I want to see you be in the best position for our child. Why wouldn't I want that for you? So you won't have to be on aid. I don't have to pay you child support. You can be the mother that can provide the lifestyle that you want for yourself as well as your child. Does that not make sense? I think it makes sense. But she didn't take my offer. She decided that she wanted to leave without my offer. And I asked her, I said, well, what about me and my son? How am I going to see him? I didn't have money to travel to go to Nevada, Las Vegas, or whatever to go and see him. I didn't have that money. So how was I going to go out there and do it? She said to me, dead in my face, what about you? What about you? And I was like, wow, that's bold. What about the connection for me to be with my son? Honestly, if that's not the most baby mama shit I've ever heard, because it is. You're telling me that you rather go to another state and struggle with a child. Maybe struggle with a child. She probably would have got on aid, whatever the case is. But you wanted to go to another state, struggle with a child, and maybe have a possibility of actually succeeding, but you don't want me to have a connection with him. So who's gonna be the man in his life? Some Joe Blow you found on the street? Who's gonna be the man in his life? You know, your father wasn't there. You know, didn't have the best leading example of a father. But you know the value of having a father in a life. We all understand the value. But yet the man is taken out of the equation. And then you have these horrific statistics that happen, right? So let's go ahead and get into it. So there was one point in time where I went and I sent paperwork up to the state of Michigan asking them to start my case. She brought him to me and let him stay with me for 6 months. And during the time that he stayed with me for those 6 months, I had got a 2-bedroom apartment because I didn't know whether she was coming back or not. I had ended up getting me a car. I went ahead and enrolled him in school. I had him in daycare. I did all the things that I was supposed to do to make sure that he was going to be able to start the next year in school. And I had a good support system, whether he was with my parents or he was in daycare when I was at work. Paid for it and everything. She comes back and she asks me, hey, I'm coming to pick him up. And I'm like, wait a minute. What's going on? She said, well, don't let me call the police. Now, for any man that ever had custody of their kids without the court system, for the mother to come back and say, don't let me call the police, I want my kids, the first thing that runs to your mind is you don't even want them problems. Now, yes, we can sit there, we can argue all day long. We can go back and forth. But for the job that I had, I didn't want to lose my job by being in jail over the weekend because she wanted to come back and get our son. What kind of justification as a black man whose name is not on a birth certificate, okay, what I would have had if the police would have showed up to my door saying, is this your son? I'm going to say yes. Where's your proof? Now, I did have a paternity test that proved that he was mine. Had I thought about it, I would have argued the fact and said, no, he's not coming with you. Fight me for him in court. But I had already had the case initiated, started. Court day was coming. But I didn't want to argue. I let him go. 3 days later, I get a phone call. I didn't even get a phone call. 3 days later, I call her. And I said, hey, I ain't heard from you in a while. Is everything good? Like, where y'all staying at? Because I was worried. Come to find out, she moved into a shelter. I'ma paint this picture for you. Imagine your kid, whether you're the mother or father, and you have to pick your kid up from a warm bed, hot meals, and everything to go and live in a shelter. What sense does that make? Help me understand. If you feel like that was the smartest thing to do, I question your judgment. There's no way I would have let my son go and live in a shelter at all. Once I found that out, this prompted me to go ahead and file my motion to get my court date to happen earlier because she was living in the shelter, which they granted. We go and we see the referee. Okay. So when we walk in the building, first of all, when we walk in the building, I didn't walk in with her, but when I walked in, you know, we had to, you know, go through intense security because obviously I ain't never been in child support court before. So child support, those kind of one of court situations where you may get killed before you even walk into the referee because you messing with a person's money. Flat out. Okay. So I go in and we go into this back room and we talk to these people. So I'm talking to the lady. I guess it's like they little case establishment or whatever it was called at the time, case evaluation, whatever it was called. But I know they were social workers or whatever. So I go back there and I talk to the lady and she's talking about some, well, it looks like here that you got an abuse case. Abuse case? I'm like, lady, I work for the government. Why would I have an abuse case? Help me understand. Why do these people want to try to get you caught up? Matter of fact, it was another black person at that, a black woman at that. You're accusing me of having a domestic violence case. And realize, after going back and forth for 10 minutes, that it wasn't even my case. It wasn't even mine. It was associated to me because it was my dad's case. But you tried to put it on me because he was paying child support. I was linked under his child support. So, but me and my dad don't even have the same last name. So how the hell your stupid ass put me, and yeah, I wish you would recognize me on this show. How would your stupid ass sit here and look at the goddamn computer and try to put it on me like it was my, like I'm the one that got the domestic violence case, and I'm telling you I don't have a case. Then you come out and say, oh yeah, well it's not your case, it's a it's such and such case. I'm like, yeah, that's my dad. Oh, you can't even apologize for your own stupid ass mistake. Like, that makes no sense whatsoever. Now, I'm not questioning the ability of the people now, but I'm talking about what had happened back in 2008, 2009. I mean, y'all literally tried to sit here and demonize me for some shit I didn't even do. And I'm real passionate about this because I don't like false allegations or accusations made against me, and my name ain't even on a warrant. First of all, how you even see that crap? Now, what access do you have to the lien system or whatever police database that y'all got access to even try to associate that with my name? You already trying, you gonna tell, what you gonna do, tell the referee, like, yeah, he got a domestic violence case, his son don't need to be with him, and they ain't even mine? What kind of reporting is you doing? Did you even look my stuff up before you even brought me back there to have a conversation? Now, I can't speak for what they're doing now, but I can tell you this. Make sure when you decide, if it's your first day going down there, make sure you got your stuff together. Make sure you got your receipts, you got documentation, you got everything, because don't walk down there barefoot. Don't walk down there pockets empty. Don't walk down there without anything. You just never know what's going to happen. You know, just remember one thing. It's not about you. It's for the benefit of the child. So always keep that in your mind, is that it's for the benefit of the child, because if you don't keep that in your mind, you're going to mess up somewhere down the line and it's going to cost you way more than if it would have if you had just kept all your ducks in a row. I'm just going to be honest with you, okay? Give me a moment, because just think about it, is get my blood boiling, get my blood pressure up. I'm going to have to get my blood pressure down, okay? Now, we sat there in that lobby for a little bit, watching people go in and out. I done heard boyfriend and girlfriend. I wouldn't even say boyfriend and girlfriend, but baby mama, baby daddy drama going on in there. You know, one dude called his girl a B or whatever like that, and they was about to fight in the lobby. I'm like, bro. I'm like, it's live in here. When I say it's live, it is live. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm nervous. My heart is racing. My hands are sweaty because I don't know what to expect. I wasn't educated on this. You know, it's one of those feelings that you have where you're trying to calm your nerves down, but you can't because the anticipation on what this referee is about to say is going to get you wrapped up. And your mind is spinning and whirling, and I wouldn't wish this feeling on nobody. And I've been in several different courtrooms for tickets, and well, primarily for tickets. But it's just that intense feeling of like, dang, I want to be able to tell my side of the story. Am I going to be able to tell my side of the story? Is the person going to listen? Like, what? You just don't know. So, we finally get called up. And we go into the courtroom. Well, technically. Yeah, we go into the courtroom. Because she was there on the first day. So we go into the courtroom. And we in front of the referee. So the referee calls the case. And it was an empty courtroom. It was probably like 4 people in there. And I'm just sitting there. I'm standing there at the podium. And I'm thinking like, yeah, I got this in a bag. You know, I filed my motion. You know, we here and everything. So the referee, no, he doesn't, like, he doesn't even talk to me. So he talks to her first, asks about her living situation, and then he talked to me about the motion I filed and everything. I'm like, yeah, I filed a motion because she told me she's living in a shelter, and you know, he was living with me for 6 months. Clearly, him living with me for 6 months didn't matter, and me having an apartment and support system and none of that stuff matters. I'm just going to be 100% honest with you. When I was going to court, none of that stuff mattered, dude. It didn't matter. It didn't matter that I took care of him for 6 months. It didn't matter that I put him in daycare and I was paying for it. It didn't matter that I was being a responsible parent. It didn't matter. So he asked me how much I made. So I'm thinking, you know, this is gonna be like the nail in the coffin, right? Oh, you know, he's the breadwinner. Obviously, he has the money to take care of him. So I tell what my salary was at the time, you know, and I told him where I worked at or whatever. So I'm thinking that's going to give me a leg up. Nope, no leg up. She come back. She say she make like, she make $5,000 a year. And I kind of scoffed at that, like, what you mean you make $5,000? That don't even make sense. That's less than, how do you make $5,000 a year? That is less than poverty. She had like this little book with her, like she had all her finances in there that she was gonna put on display. And I'm like, nah, bro. Nah. We ain't, I don't believe that. And the judge was like, well, not the judge, the referee. Referee was like, well, y'all gonna have to go to FANG. What is FANG? What the hell is that? So FANG, he was like, if you got a problem with it, you can file an objection within like 10 days. It's like, all right. So I'm like, so he was like, well, M&G, you're going to have to pay $400. What you mean $400? Told her, ma'am, you're going to have to pay zero. Like, you got a problem with it, file your objection. I couldn't believe what I heard. There's no way in this God-given world you're going to tell me that I have to pay $400 for mediation, because that's what FAME is. It's family something, mediation something. You want me to pay $400 for mediation, and she pays nothing for mediation. What kind of joke is that? Is a sick joke. You understand? A sick joke. Think about that. I make the money. I put all the things that I needed to put in place in her absence, because she dropped him off, then picked him up and irresponsibly took him to his shelter, and I have to pay $400 for FANG. Wow. this is the system that we have in place. And I can't even speak to whether it's still going on now. So you're going to have to chime into the comments and let me know if it's still happening now. But at the time, it was $400. Now, and am I completely against it? Yeah, I am. I thought it was unfair. This is what happened to me. I thought it was unfair. I filed my objection the next day. So let me tell you, I didn't even make it to Fame. I filed my objection the next day. Was like, nah, look, we need to go talk to a judge. Because this ain't right. Like, y'all playing me. Y'all really going to sit here and tell me that she makes $5,000 a year. I have to pay $400 for Fame, for mediation to go and talk to her about what the dumb shit she did. Like that's literally going to be the conversation about the dumb stuff that you did. Okay. I found my objection. A week later, I get a call from my attorney. I'm at work doing my little work thing, paper pushing, all that stuff, right? Get a phone call from the attorney. Attorney says, MNG, you don't have your documentation and you didn't pay for Fame. I'm like, because I filed an objection the next day. Well, I don't see it in the file. And if we don't have it, we gonna issue a warrant out for your arrest. Wait. Excuse me, lady. Did you just call and threaten me to file a warrant? An arrest warrant for me because I didn't pay $400 for Fame? That's what we do? So we violating court orders. And we have to go to jail? You're gonna arrest me for not going to Fame? So then what's gonna happen afterwards, lady? What's gonna happen? I am curious. You're gonna arrest me for not paying a mediation fee. That is unbelievable. Again, I don't know if this is still happening now, but it was happening to me in 2009, 2010. How are you going to arrest me for not paying that mediation fee? Because it was a court order? You know how many people violate court orders every day and still be walking the streets, still get pulled over by the police, still go out there and get jobs, and you telling me because I didn't pay mediation fee, I gotta go ahead and go to jail? Forfeit my job? Forfeit my apartment? To go to... Somebody make it make sense. Somebody make it make sense. Because it wasn't making sense back then to me. I don't know if they still doing that. I hope not. That is, yeah, that's wild to me. But how the case is, you know, that's what happened. And she filed my objection. She found my objection in a file. And we end up going to the second court date. I'm not going to get into the second court date. There was a few court hearings that she did not show up to. Actually, it was three court hearings that she didn't show up to. It was three. And I'm going to say that story for the next one. So we're going to have a part two to this story. And I'm going to tell you about my second day in court. And I'm going to tell you how all of it happened. Detail for detail. What I was going through. What I heard. You know, the best way to combat this, and I'll tell this to anyone, don't have kids. Whether you married or not, don't have kids. I ain't even trying to reduce the population of the world. I'm really not. I mean, there's enough people out there that's going to do it for you. But if you want to have kids, make sure you have kids with somebody that actually love you, that care for you. So here's a few things to avoid. Don't have kids. If you do decide to have kids with somebody that loves you. If you also decide to have more kids, have it with one person. Make sure you're married to that person that you're going to have kids with. And make sure you do everything to make sure that your relationship works. you know, make sure you have communication. Make sure you have trust. Don't step outside your relationship. I can be honest with you. Divorce is a headache. Child support is even worse. Add on top of that alimony. See, the problem is that when people go out here and decide to have kids, or if they have kids because it's a mistake or whatever the case is, a lot of people don't think about the financial aspect that goes behind that. And the financial aspect is always a lot worse when you're breaking up, because the person gets spiteful and then they want to take you out of child support court. If you get a divorce, you can probably walk away, maybe not paying alimony, but you're not gonna be walk away from paying child support. So there goes that. And it's honestly, it's just not worth the headache. Honestly, I mean, kids are precious, they're beautiful, but it's only good when, you know, you have two dedicated parents willing to be with each other and raise a child together. When you have that, it's beautiful. But when you have these kids out of wedlock, when you have these kids and the parents, you know, believe that they would love it, felt they was in love, and they end up growing apart, or whatever the case is, however it happened, I'm not trying to cash for anybody. I'm just giving you my point of view, my perspective. But we always have to do what's in the best interest of the child. When we start to get away from that, I think that's when we start to lose sight of like what the whole purpose of why y'all had kids in the first place. Even if y'all, whether it was planned parenting or it was not planned at all, because my son wasn't planned at all, but I decided to step up even though it was unplanned. And for all the fathers out there that are stepping up, I appreciate you, and I commend you on the job that you're doing. For all the fathers out there trying to get in their kids' lives, keep the fight up. Use the court system as a tool. Check out all my videos that I'm putting out here, because I'm trying to give this game away for free. I don't want to charge you for any of this stuff. And I want to hope that my story inspires you to go out there and fight to be in your kids' lives. Regardless of all the headache that you got to go through, regardless of whatever, fight and fight hard, because they need you. I am the proof that I needed my dad in my life. I turned out good because I had a lot of father figures, but I needed my dad in my life, and my son needed me. I can't say where he would have been where I would have been if I wasn't there. So the last thing that I have to say, and then I'm gonna let y'all go. Okay. Be there as much as you can in whatever capacity you can. Be there. It's Fair with Mr. Nice Guy. I'm your host, MNG. And I'll see you on the next recording. Peace.